this ministry is the best thing that ever happened to me, other than my wife and my two boys. I was a totally broken man when I met Chris, and he invited me to Houlihan's. And I remember the first time I went there, you older guys, if you remember at Lenox Square, those steep stairs going up, and there were all these people at the top teeming, and I went, what? I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't know anything, but I got beat to my knees, and I met Chris at a couples Bible study and reached out to him. God led me to him. Anyway, Chris poured into me for 20 years. I can't believe he put up with me, but I can't thank you enough. He changed my life. So, John Wesley is a well-known English cleric, theologian, and minister who lived from 1703 to 1791. His life spanned most of the 18th century, which many regard as the most consequential century in modern history. It included the Industrial Revolution, the Great Awakening, and of course the U.S. War for Independence with Britain. At 5 years of age, Wesley almost died in a house fire that persuaded him that God had let him live for a purpose. And he devoted the rest of his life to God, to study, and to spiritual development in Britain's rigorous Christian tradition of the time. He graduated from Oxford, and at only 22, he was ordained in the Church of England. While at Oxford, Wesley and his younger brother Charles and George Whitfield started the Holy Club. And it's interesting, both John and Charles Wesley and George Whitfield, the two, I think, most prominent Christian, real Christian schools in Atlanta are named after Wesleyan, and then Whitfield Academy. So, sidebar. The Holy Club movement became the Methodist denomination, which focused on evangelizing to the poor, the marginalized, and unchurched throughout England, Ireland, and eventually the United States. In 1735, Wesley was sent to Savannah, Georgia, by General Oglethorpe to evangelize to the American colonies. But the mission was a complete failure. After only 2 years, Wesley returned to England a broken man. Depression set in, and he viewed his life's work as an empty pursuit. He struggled to feel worthy and even questioned his faith. He confessed his dilemma to a Moravian priest, who replied, "My son, do you not know Jesus Christ? Don't you realize he saved you?" Wesley's response was, "Yes, I hope he died to save me, but I fear these are vain words. I feel like I'm only half a Christian." Shortly after this encounter, Wesley was at a Moravian church, same pastor, and the priest spoke of salvation and implored his listeners to understand that salvation comes only by grace through faith, and that righteous works, while good in themselves, accrue no merit whatsoever towards salvation. It's all the work of God through Jesus. At that moment, Wesley said, "My heart felt strangely warm, and a new birth transformed his life forever." Heretofore, Wesley assumed his salvation was also dependent on moral goodness, universal obedience, and rigid fulfillment of the commandments. In a word, legalism. Wesley said God had intervened at this pivotal moment in his spiritual journey. "I moved from the faith of a servant to the faith as a son. I viewed the work of Jesus in a whole new way and had total assurance that my salvation rests solely on him, the crucified and resurrected Christ. His preaching from this time forward was based on this new revelation, and he realized a profoundly higher state of spiritual devotion and effectiveness in his ministry. Open your scriptures, if you will, to Mark 4, 21 to 25. And obviously, this is another parable. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp and put it under a basket or bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away." As with all parables, Jesus is generous in his use of metaphors. The light from the lamp represents the Word of God, the truth of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Put another way, the light is the earthly manifestation of a perfect, all-knowing, and all-loving God. The lamp, on the other hand, is the gospel message in us. If our goal is Christian leadership, the lamp guides our lives and how we engage with others. It's our values, our priorities. As believers, Christ in us should impact not just the way we live, but also be our catalyst to share the good news with others. Then Jesus asked the question, "Is my lamp brightly manifest in you, or is it covered by a basket or put under a bed?" These are not rhetorical questions. They deserve serious and prayerful consideration. It should be clear that our lamps have little value if they don't transform us and help others see and know Jesus. Now let's unpack the metaphors of a basket or a bed. They are anything and everything that compromises, diffuses, or extinguishes the lamp in our lives. And they take root in a litany of earthly manifestations. But generally, they emanate from three main sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. But in this parable, Jesus is focusing on our flesh and the things that, as spiritual leaders, we can and should control. Jesus implores us not to be complacent, not to be stubborn, and not to be fearful, but to actively live out and share his truth and love. The world is also a serious impediment to any witnessing Christian, especially in this culture, as Chris White always said, and its affluenza. I always love that word. merging affluence and obviously being sick like I am now. Too often we prioritize earthly things that matter nothing in God's economy. I'll never forget reading this for the first time in Luke 16:15, which tells us, "The things that are highly esteemed in man are detestable in the sight of God." That's scary. One of the other Bible versions says, "an abomination in the sight of God." Yikes. Bob Goff, author of the book Love Does, wrote, "I'd rather be mediocre with things that really matter than excel at things that don't." Thought that was a good summary of how the world can take us away from the main thing. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. The most effective means of sharing Christ's truth with others is not by what we say, but what we do. Remember, you can hardly ever get a non-believer to read the Bible, but they all read Christians. As men striving to be effective Christian leaders, we must take great care to what they're reading about us. Jesus advises us to listen carefully and pursue his truth with discernment. For the degree you use will be also measured to you. In summary, we can only share and witness effectively that which we accurately understand and believe. In contrast, John Wesley's misunderstanding of doctrinal truth sorely compromised his ministry. Finally, only as we put God's teachings into practice will we discern and see more of his truth. As obedient leaders, we constantly sharpen our vision to increase our understanding. Consider Corey Ten Boom's clever admonition. Do you use the truth of Jesus as a steering wheel or a spare tire? Let's kind of wrap this up. The more we pursue God's truth, both in knowledge and its application, the more our lamps shine brightly, and the more God reveals. Accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior is a pivotal first step. But discipleship is never an arrival. It's an endless pursuit. Our ability to live the Christian life 100% of the time isn't hard. It's impossible. But every day is an opportunity to pursue his truth with unwavering desire and personal authenticity. No one ever questioned John Wesley's tireless pursuit of Christian evangelism. But in his case, he misappropriated God's salvation as coming from his own goodness and ability to fulfill the law, instead of only by Jesus' sacrifice for us. This misplaced doctrine darkened his life and diminished his ministry. But after his transcendent breakthrough, Wesley's impact on the world was astonishing. Over the rest of his life, thousands, literally thousands, of Methodist churches sprung up across Western Europe and America. Many consider John Wesley as the primary catalyst, what is considered the greatest Christian revival since the apostles in the first century. Wesley's profound misunderstanding of the gospel is instructive. Like many of us today, he believed he needed to be good enough to earn God's salvation. But God didn't love us because we are good. He knew we needed a Savior. And we are good because he first loved us. And his profound love should animate everything we believe, we say, and we do. We should be comfortable with the fact that we all get knocked off course in our spiritual journeys, but the glass isn't half empty. In Jesus, it's always full. The challenge today, ponder these questions. Does my life really show others how to find God and live for him? And what baskets are diminishing his lamp in me? And what must happen for it to shine more brightly? Let me close with a prayer. And this is a prayer. It's Ephesians 3, 16, 19. I suggest you write that down and ponder it. It's one of Paul's, what it's called, a life-changing prayer. May the Father grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God which passes all understanding, that we might be filled up to all the fullness of God. Thank you for this time, Lord. I just, I can't express how deeply grateful I am for this ministry, as I know many other men are as well. And I just pray that our time together this morning would encourage those here, those watching, to really take sight of the tendency we all have to diminish your lamp in us, but to not be discouraged and to strive to be the man that you would have us be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables. Thank you.